Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Visions for You Big Book study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 7, paragraph 2, starting with "It relieved me," ending with "self-knowledge," just that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Denise G., 12 Traditions, Catherine N., text reader, Penny L.C., page 164, Stephanie L., our backup reader is Dana P., our newcomer greeter is Noel E., and announcements are Eileen M., and I want to thank everyone for their service. It's been great to be working with Team Tuesday this month. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,007. That's 19007. I couldn't wait to say that. This morning, Tuesday, May 31st at 7 a.m. Eastern Time was 19,009. 19009. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise G. to please read the 12 steps. Denise?
Good morning, Diane, and happy Tuesday. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Sorry,
hello?
I was muted. Yep, I was muted. Sorry. All right, so now we have the 12 traditions. Catherine N., would you please read us the 12 traditions?
Thank you. This is Catherine N., compulsive overeater in Richmond, Virginia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service this month.
And thank you so much for your service this month, Catherine. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Can everybody please mute their phone unless you're a speaker? Thank you. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 7, paragraph 2, starting with "It relieved me," and ending with self-knowledge. We're reading one paragraph only. So Penny LC, take us away, please.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Someone's unmuted, just to mention. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will was amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. You know, I can so relate to Bill. how many times did I try to explore self-knowledge? You know, I took the psychological approach, but it was not enough. I investigated my history, my upbringing. You know, got counseling. I gained knowledge, mostly blaming other people and circumstances is what it amounted to. I gained understanding, but, you know, mostly the outcome was just blaming outside sources. And it was not a matter of more explanation of self or only trying harder. You know, if my problem centers in my mind, then my mind alone will not be able to solve the problem. Yeah, and the only bit of knowledge, I had a desperate desire that became more desperate. What I needed to gain was that I needed a higher power to solve my problem. You know, geez, I think about every extra pound that got on with self-knowledge that piled on. The goose hung high when I would lose weight for me, but even without the extra pounds, I was still irritable and miserable, sick and suffering, you know, because I can't solve as a spiritual problem with a psychological or mental solution. It just doesn't add up. So self-knowledge is only a half measure. You know, it's not sufficient, and it's going to avail me nothing. Lack of power is my dilemma. And so I just, you know, I'm like with only self-knowledge, I have only a partial answer. I'm like a dry drunk. You know, even if I put the food down, I'm still not recovered. It's not the only answer. I need to find that way to find peace and serenity within. And that where the power comes from outside of me or within me, depending on how you look at it. But it's a higher power. It's not me. It's not my mind. It's not my knowledge. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. I'm now ready to take names of people who would like to share. Please give me your first name and the initial of your last name.
Linda B.
To unmute. Linda B.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Laura L.
Is that Laura or Maura?
Laura with an L as in llama.
Good. Laura L. Thank you, Laura.
Laura W.
Laura W. Star one to unmute.
Kim O.
Kim O. Thanks. Okay, we're going to start here. We got Linda B., Donna B., Laura L., Laura W., and Kim O. Linda B., you're up.
Thanks, Diane, and thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Linda B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Penny did a wonderful job talking about this paragraph. She just said almost everything I was feeling inside as I was listening to her read it. Even though it's not funny, I had to giggle. I really, really had to giggle at the line about... we're weakened when it comes to combating liquor, food, though it often remains strong in other respects. And I thought to myself, strong. I think there's another word for myself, Will. But it was so true. And I just fared forth in high hope and thinking, I've got it this time. I've got it this time. I know I've got this under control. There's that word control again. And thinking I'm still in control of this dilemma of mine. And it's just so, I don't know, it's self-combating. And I said, oh, I've read so much about this. I have so much knowledge about this, you know, food and nutrition and what I need to do. And I've really got a handle on this now. I'm full of self-knowledge, just so full of it. And that's not the answer. It's not the answer. And, you know, I just kept failing time and time again. And I guess it's in those failures and the gift of desperation that we finally realize that we do not possess the power that it takes to solve our dilemma. And we finally turn to God. We turn to this spiritual answer, the spiritual solution. We surrender. And we work this program, we work these 12 steps to have this relationship with the God of our understanding that has the power that can help us live life on life's terms. Because in the end, that's what it's all about. We can put the food down, but we can't keep it down unless we have a higher power that helps us live life on life's terms. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. Next, we have Donna B. Star one to unmute, please.
This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. There was a special edition a few months ago that Melissa C. Spoke on, in which she went through the entire big book and pointed out all the things that failed to work. And in this paragraph, I'm being told that self-will fails to work and self-knowledge fails to work. I've already learned that fear fails to work. And it's, even as I sit 4 years recovered, abstaining from my alcoholic food ingredients and my alcoholic food behaviors, including volume eating, I read this paragraph and it still saddens me. It saddens me as if I'm reading it for the first time, like that, just that punch in the gut, that self-knowledge isn't going to work at all. And the longer that I'm in program and the longer that I'm in recovery, the reminder of all the things that fail to work sort of penetrate even more and more deeply of how powerless I am over this disease and that I have to find a power greater than myself to live in recovery and to live in a state of well-being and partnership with the people in my life. I grew up worshiping knowledge. Education was, you know, of the highest value. And I was a very devoted student from beginning to now of just learning. For the purpose of acquiring knowledge and probably the status associated with knowledge. And I'm grateful today to be reminded that self-knowledge avails me nothing. Educational knowledge is of moderate value. And that my real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows. And that's humbling. It's really humbling to be reminded of how little my personal resources can affect my well-being in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Laura L., followed by Laura W.
Hi, this is Laura L., gratefully recovered in Arkansas. I really love this paragraph. This is Bill exposing more of the fallacy that I share with him, more of the illusion of control. And, you know, it says it relieves me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor or food, but it often remains strong in other respects. That was a relief to me to discover, but it was also, unfortunately, an ego stroke to find out that, you know, my will remains strong in other respects. And so, you know, self-knowledge feels really good when you discover it for the first time. Of course it feels like the answer because it just feels so good to, you know, to finally understand you know, what was wrong with me. So I was, you know, of course I was on cloud nine. This is the answer, self-knowledge. Now I know what's going on and I can move forward. And I can control this now. But, you know, half measures availed us nothing. And then, you know, what does it say and how it works? Everything was nil until we let go. The result was nil until we let go, absolutely. Like, this was just something else for me to hang on to so that I could remain in self-will, so that I could maintain my own illusion of control. And without my higher power, without a program of action, without my OA fellows, you know, half measures availed me nothing. Thanks for letting me share today. I appreciate it, and thank everyone for their service.
Thanks, Laura L. Now we have Laura W.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you so much. This is Laura W., a recovered post-eater anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. And, you know, this program is not for everybody. And I say that because there are people out there who can join the diet club and it works, and they stop, you know, their compulsive eating, or they stop their binging and they go on with their lives. And, you know, if those pain ways didn't work, they wouldn't, you know, they'd all go out of business. But for a normal eater, those things work. And if you, somebody like that, they can understand, okay, I have to eat in moderation and I can only have one slice of pizza. I can't have four or what, you know. But for a true, real compulsive eater, the Big Book tells us that, you know, the only thing that works is entire abstinence. And for me, you know, I always found myself in the bookstore over in the self-help section and or in the diet section looking for the latest fix and knowing, okay, this is it. This is going to cause me to eat normally again. And I'm never going to, you know, go purge through exercise again because moderation is the key. However, you know, this tells me that my will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating food, weight, and exercise for me. And, you know, I did fare forth in high hopes when I joined the latest diet club or, you know, had the newest book that seemed to work. And surely this was the answer, self-knowledge, but really what it was control. And, you know, as an addict, that's a huge character defect of mine is control, whether it's, you know, the food, the weight, the exercise, my husband, my kids, you know. So when the food is down, which it has been, thank you God, for many years, you know, you would think that everything would be great, right? But that's when the real work begins in this program. That's when the work on the character defects arrives. And that desire to control everything and everyone needs to be combated through and only through surrender to a higher power. I cannot do it on my own. I can, you know, I may have the self-knowledge that, okay, this is what I should do, but without a true surrender and throwing up my hands and saying, I can't do this, God, take it from me, you know, that's a huge relief when I do that. And every time I surrender to God, he figures it out. Like my track record of getting through the hard stuff is 100%, and that's only due to God. And I always tell the story, you know, like they told
we lost you, Laura.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you. We only have a few seconds left.
Okay, I'm going to pause. Thank you for letting me share. Something went a little wonky with my phone. Thanks for letting me share.
You're welcome. Thank you for your service, for your sharing. Kimmo, you're next.
Hi, this is Kim O from Alabama, compulsive overeater. When I think about what it's talking about with self-knowledge here, if I could have stopped the compulsive overeating with self-knowledge and awareness, I could have done that a long time ago. And it's not possible. It's not the answer. self-knowledge is a part of it. I know what a gift it was to be able to read the first 164 pages and to learn and to see that this is a disease, that there's this phenomena of craving. The awareness and the knowledge of just that one bite for me of sugar or my alcoholic foods, that just turns a switch and I can automatically, you know, without even realizing it, just how it affects me emotionally and spiritually and cognitively, just to be in a place where I'm not even aware that I'm struggling with things, and rather than dealing with them, if I can just go to the refrigerator or numb, or, you know, it's so complicated. But knowledge is a part of it. Awareness is a part of it, but it's not the answer. It's not, as people have stated about my willpower or what I know, because if I could stop with just this desire that it's explaining, the desire to stop, if and the knowledge of why and what is happening, it's not that. It's going to be staying connected with a higher power. It is that spiritual solution. It's working the steps. It's reaching out to recovery partners, and it is one moment at a time, one day at a time, through no power of my own. And I think that's all I have with this. I'm grateful to be here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, we can now take some more people who would like to share. Star 1 to unmute.
Carrie KB.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody.
Hi.
KB. Who is KB?
Sherry.
Terry?
Sherry, like the wine.
Oh, Sherry, like the wine. Okay, Sherry KB. Stacy A. Lisa N. Lisa Nancy, I think it was.
Carla C.
Carla C.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's about it for now. All right, so we're going to start with, I have Sherry KB, Stacy A, Lisa, Nancy, Carla C, and Anne-Marie M. Did I miss anybody there? Okay, Sherry KB, star 1 to unmute, and everybody else, please remute your phones. Thank you.
Good morning, Diane, Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service and Team Tuesday. So grateful to be here this morning with all of you. You know, this paragraph, it's all about the eyes. You know, it's, you know, that I realize this, that I can do that, that I was, you know, I had a weekend, but when it comes to compulsive overeating, it's my incredible behavior facing the desperate desire to stop. And I understand myself now, and I hung high, you know, with the goose for 4 months, like, you know, on that pink cloud, and, you know, the food was down, and the disease was nowhere to be found until it started coming back up. And, you know, without, what's missing here to me is the spiritual peace. That's what's missing here. God's not in this paragraph at all. Without that, my self-knowledge and my determination and all of that doesn't hold water to compare to me leaning on my higher power. My self-knowledge is important to know that I am a compulsive overeater and that my life's unmanageable and that I can't control this disease no matter how hard I try, no matter how much knowledge I have. No, it doesn't matter because it will always win. But I have such a great chance if I lean on my higher power and I work the steps and I find that relationship with a power greater than myself that restores me to sanity. And it's all about surrender. Self-knowledge is great. And I have a lot of knowledge in a lot of areas. But as far as being able to combat this disease, I can't do it by myself. I will lose out every time if I rely on finite self instead of infinite higher power, which means limitless. And finite means, you know, limited. And I have tried this all, you know, most of my life, thinking that I knew the answer. And the answer is a higher power, and the answer is in the steps. And the answer is self-knowledge avails me nothing. You know, it says self-knowledge avails us nothing. We turn to the pointing point. We turn and ask God to relieve us by working these steps, and that's where I find relief from my disease. And without my higher power, I will be face down in the food again. I can't do it that way. I can't do it Sherry's way. I can't do the Sherry show any longer. It self-reliance fails me. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. We have Stacey A. followed by Lisa. Stacey, star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Stacey A., bulimic restrictor, over-exerciser. I sit in two-out food, lactose abuser, and binger. Going on six weeks, totally sober now for the first time in my life, with no behaviors, from the grace of God, and with like fellowship and everything. I was about on step eight when I fully relapsed and had to go back to step four. And then my old sponsor, we had to part ways. And then from the grace of God, I found a new sponsor who's taken me to the big book again, and I'm starting all over again. And that's okay. But for the first time ever, when I had to get a new sponsor, I left it up to God. And when I did it, I prayed to God and said, okay, by Wednesday, I'm going to just pick a sponsor. And I did. And I used to it on self-reliance. But now more than ever, I kind of lead things up to God and not on myself. I haven't really been through this house, but I've been in program for over 2 years now. And I do believe something greater than myself or God. Because if I had left it to myself or in my old ways, I know I would be more in the food. But since I believe in a power greater than myself, a lot of myself has changed, and people around me have seen myself change. So this program does work if you just believe in it. And for everyone out there listening and who is struggling, sometimes I do struggle, don't give up on yourself and don't give up on this program. Because it does work. Just have the willingness and the hope. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. Next, we have Lisa. Would you please give us the initial of your last name and your state? Thank you.
Sure. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, yep. Great. It's Lisa N. as in Nancy, and I'm from Wisconsin. And thank you, everybody, for your shares, and thank you, moderator, for your service this morning. I guess what popped into my head right away is the struggle and the reading and the acquiring new information about why I had this problem, what my faults were, and, you know, what I was doing wrong. And, oh, now I've got it. Now I'll stop doing that, and I'll do this instead. And, okay, well, I'll try this because this will be better. And what I really needed to get to the bottom of it, I knew it was spiritual and I knew it was deep, but I didn't know what it was. So I went after the occult, and I know that might be an outside issue for people. But I studied and I studied so I could understand myself and figure this. It was an eating problem I knew I had, and I had depression, so I knew there was something not right with me. Do you think I would go where, you know, say to God, take me where you want me to go? But no, I was sure that I knew what path to take, And this sounded so good, and it sounded like it would really help, but it never did. And there were so many people in who did study those things along with me that I met. They had the same issue. I remember talking to somebody and saying, why do I have this problem? And she couldn't tell me, and none of them could. But one person did say, I will give that person kudos. One person said, why don't you go to OA? And that must have been God, because I needed to hear that. And I didn't act on it right away. But finally, I heard, and I decided I better do that. So I'm very grateful. No matter what this path looks like, no matter how long it took me to get where I'm going or where I need to be, I'm not always where I want to be, but I'm working on it. God is helping me. God is along with us on this path. I know it. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lisa. And next we have Nancy. And if you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Did you ask for Carla C? Hello.
Okay. No, I have Carla C next. Was there a Nancy or was that you, Carla C? I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, I think okay. It was.
Okay, so yeah. Carla C, please start. And what's your state?
Yeah, I'm in California. Very grateful to this program and recovered today by the grace of God. And I just love what everyone's sharing. You know, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And that takes me to my knees. And that's what really works for me, is getting on my knees and asking my higher power for help. And I've been working on the two-way prayer lately, and it's just, you know, loving myself and telling myself that it's all good, and God, you know, my higher power loves me, and this, it works, you know, putting aside what I think I know for a new experience. And I love the support that I get, and I'm just so grateful. So thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you, Carla. Next, we have Anne-Marie M. Star one to unmute.
Good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, and through God's grace, recovered from compulsive overeating. Compulsive eating, period. You know, I used to work with a lot of compulsive eaters, but they weren't compulsive overeaters. They would be able to walk by a candy jar and, you know, pop some candy in their mouth and then go on with the rest of the day without any other obsession. But I have the physical addiction that if I had done that, I'd be in the hiding in the bathroom with it all. But anyway, I was relieved to learn, you know, it relieved me somewhat to learn that an alcoholic's will is amazingly weakened when it comes to compulsive eating, and I was so relieved when I went into my first OA meeting and heard some of the things that people did that I thought I would never share with another human being, because I was so ashamed of myself and the things that I had done and not understanding any of it. So it relieved me to know that I had a disease. And I many times got abstinent. This is the fourth time that I've become recovered in this program, and so far I'm staying recovered. It's been over a year, which is it's a miracle, and it's because I am continuing to do the work. I did the work those other times, yet I, you know, it says we are not cocky. I got cocky, and I thought, well, I need to sponsor other people, and I put them before me. I didn't continue my practice with my God. And I was basically doing step 12 now that I think of it. I was just about doing just step 12 and thinking that I was all that. I had the title recovered and thought I was all that. And it, no matter what, not doing this work, not staying in connection with God, for me is the key. Not only staying in connection with God, but having a relationship with Him, which is absolutely awesome for me. I enjoy spending quiet time with Him, with my God of my understanding. I enjoy that time. Whereas before, I was doing it because it was a checklist. It was one of the things that I needed to do. People told me I had to get a relationship with God. I said, okay, I'll do that. I mean, I would do anything that anybody told me to do. And but you know, I didn't continue doing it. And so I went back several times. And God's mercy for me is unbelievable. And I'm just so grateful for that. So, yeah, I need to continue sponsoring. I'm looking for a sponsee if anybody's needing one. I have to continue doing this work. And it's the sponsoring that has helped me out the most because I'm staying in the book. There's no way that I'm going to pick up this book and read it on my own.
Gentle reminder.
Thanks. I'll pass with that.
Thank you. Let's see. I think we have time. 10-4. Yep, we've got time for maybe two more shares. So star one if you want to give your name.
Janice K.
Janice K. Right, that's it.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi. Oh.
All right, hold on. Janice K. Hiya P. So Janice, you're up first. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. The last sentence here just really strikes me. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. For me, self-knowledge and self-reliance are closely intertwined, and they are both, for me, expressions of agnosticism. The question of who do you trust has been immense in my life. There's a quick story I want to let tell you. There's a figure standing close to a very tall cliff, and a voice says, come to the edge. No, not me. Come to the edge, he says. No, not me, I'm afraid. Come to the edge, he says. I did. He pushed me, and I flew. Someone once talked to me about something they called the sacred question. And I think that the sacred question in my life has been every time God turns to me and says, so now, do you trust me? I have learned slowly over the course of time how to be trusting. So for me, self-knowledge and self-reliance are closely related, and they are both expressions of agnosticism. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice. Hiya, P. You're up.
Hi, everybody. This is Hiya, P. Very, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Bulimic and restrictor. I live in Colorado. I am still in New Jersey and will be here for quite a while. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning and to have heard some of the shares. And welcome to anyone who's new. You really do belong. If you want to be here, you can join the club. I love the spiral down, you know. It just shows me over and over and over and over just how much my mind can tell me, you know, just one more time, this is it, this is it, this is it. And, you know, self-knowledge without a power greater than myself, to which I try to get that knowledge from is not helpful for me. And what I've learned is, you know, really how much I need to ask God. Someone was saying about really enjoying that quiet time in the morning. I particularly would like rather go to something else, not because I don't want to spend that time with God. It's just, it's sometimes I my head will tell me I have something else to do that's more important. And so having that discipline of sitting, and I do my prayer meditation, but really, 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 really taking that time. Once I'm there, it's really a gift, because I can ask for direction. I can ask, you know, what's my next step? Give me the right thought. Give me the right action. And it's, you know, it's also allowed me to have, you know, someone was saying, I feel so far from God, and they weren't calling other fellows, you know, and it was my sponsor, and I said, you know, God is in the phone calls. You know why? Because we talk about God, talk about a power greater than yourself. And I was someone who had to come to believe, but that denies that one more time, this is it, just kept failing me. And so seeing that there were people who were abstinent and happy and living within their ideals drew me closer. And for that, I'm very grateful. That's all I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for sharing today. And thank you for Team Tuesday. It's been a great month, and it's been really wonderful working with everyone. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Let's see. Will Stephanie L. please get us reading A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. here, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And thanks for letting me be of service in the month of May. And with that, I'll pass. And we can't hear you.
Well, I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for the recording to be stopped.